Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and rock god Rick Maxa.
Welcome back, hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here, rock god Rick Maxa in the Mighty 1090 studios with Lyle Bellquist from the Coastal Tagging Program. We also haven't talked about his other job, too, which we'll get into, too. And, of course, Elena Sadal from the Sport Fishing Association of California. Well represented here. We've got an exciting show coming up. Don't forget, in a very short time, we're going to hear from Hunter, who's he's unofficially representing the Navy, but he used to work on the island at San Clemente Island. He's going to have all the insight for us on how we can cooperate with the Navy in working with them to be able to keep our access to go fishing at this fabulous island. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up very soon.
Well, we're having a great show and great information. And, boy, we'd love to hear from you in the second hour. Again, if you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup, there's two ways you can do that. And it has been a crazy busy morning all morning. But there are opportunities for you to get through right now, both with our local and our toll-free number, local line 858, area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. Or you can call us toll-free. That toll-free line is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Not only talking all kinds of fishing, talking great information. We're giving away such a cool prize. And again, one lucky caller at the end of the show today is going to win a three-quarter day trip aboard the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing on a three-quarter day trip, which we're about to hear from Marcos here in a little bit. They've been having fantastic fishing aboard the San Diego. In addition to that, you're going to get the Ahi USA SoCal Tuna Kit. It includes the Assault Diamond Jigs in both 4 and 6 ounces, the Live Deception Jigs in 4 and 2 ounces, and the Bluefin Killer. You're going to get two of the Assault Diamond Jigs and the 10-ounce Glow, courtesy of our friends at Ahi, and that is a serious SoCal kit for sure.
No kidding. All right, time for the catch report.
You got it, man. We're going to start it off up at with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, and today the catch report sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros, because once you try them, you're hooked. They'll fillet and vacuum pack your fish to your specs, as well as offer you the best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burger. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details, or you can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego landings. And we've got our fishdope.com reporter, the man, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Lyle, Elena. So it's been another very interesting week offshore for the private boat fleet, and not quite the frenzy of activity we've seen in the past few in terms of some of that kelp patty fishing, but many areas still kicking out plenty of big fish. Let me hit a few highlights here. At Catalina, what a week it's been over there. Let me tell you, a lot of big yellowtail tearing up tackle on the front side east, front side middle there. Quite a bit of fish were schooled up there for a little bit, although it's kind of breaking down now. But you guys control Rapala or Yozuri plug. We're still trolling macro along that front there, 20 fathoms. Heavier tackle, guys. It's a good spread of fish in there. There's been a few big ones. Also scattered around the back there, including the famous Farnsworth Bank there. It's holding quite a bit of that good grade yellowtail there. Good mix of bass, bonita, barracuda, along with the marlin or two, and even a few dorado right in tight to the island there. It's been good fishing, fun stuff. Along the Long Beach coastline there and the famous horseshoe kelp, much improved surface action. Thank goodness. Finally, it's been a tough season. Good signal on the surface fish there. The yellows and the barracuda moved in a little bit, and good cockle bass fishing in the afternoon. It's fun stuff, and again, close to home. So starts getting really interesting at San Clemente Island. The setup is changing a little bit as summer starts to transition toward our fall fishing there. Inshore, the cockle bass fishing is great in there, shallow around the boiler rocks. Really good bass fishing. And a lot of big yellows on that deep structure spots haven't been attended to because everybody's been fishing tuna fish, but starting to get looked at a little bit more. There's still a dab of squid in the cove, and there's also a little bit out there on Desperation Reef proper. And that bluefin and that yellow, love that squid. And a little farther off the island, there's still some decent bluefin tuna fishing, although much less signal on them really big ones. They've been kind of MIA for a week or so here now, so there's no telling if they just went deep or opted out of the area. We'll see. But what's getting really interesting is more sign of that good gray yellowfin mixing in with the bluefin that's off the island there a bit. That yellowfin's like 40 to 75 pounds. And those offshore traveling fish, man, they're in great shape, and they pull so hard. They're so much fun to catch. That main area is down 10 to 15 below the island now, and it's kind of creeping up on the west wing of the butterfly, and then some of the guys are pushing out toward the tip of the condom there for that offshore area. And then also on the outside there, good yellows and bluefin on the Cortez and Tanner Banks proper, fishing up there in the shallows of the bank. And then for you marlin guys, that better fishing looks like it's kind of pushed up to the west, and I'm going to take a break from my tuna fishing here tomorrow. We're going to go up there and check out that marlin and catch one of my buddies, his first one on his boat, do something different here for a little bit. So we'll have all that report for you next week. And I'm telling you what, guys, it is seriously flat calm weather and good fishing, and time to go.
Time to go fishing. Fishdope.com, Danny and the boys, thanks to your help and all the people that report to Fishdope.com, have keeping them on the pulse. You check it every day. It's such a bizarre year this year. Let's just face it.
It is, man.
A bizarre year, and you've got to have fish dope to be on the fish.
And it's, I mean, you're right. It's bizarre, but God, it's starting to feel like this is the new normal. You know, it's even like it's just kind of shifting north, and we're just getting a whole different flavor to our area here. And whatever it is, I'll take it, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good fish around.
Sure. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code hookup now. Lowercase, no space. You don't have it. What's the matter with you? Get on it. Fishdope.com. Use the code hookup now. Lowercase, no space. And Mark, how do we find you?
B, we're in Huntington Beach, the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station. The phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, hey, I got a real quick calico bass story for you because you guys are talking about tagging bass.
Yep.
This goes back many, many years when Fish and Game tagged a bunch of fish and left them right underneath the rigs at Huntington Beach. So I was fishing down there, caught a bass, had a tag, wrote the number down, let him go, kept fishing. 15 minutes later, I catch another bass with a tag. I go, oh, that's cool. Doing the same day, same fish 15 minutes later.
No kidding. Lyle's just shaking his head. It happens a lot, Lyle.
Yeah, it does. We've had fish recaptured 1 minute after we tagged it.
They're hungry.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
That just goes to show the amount of stress that these fish go through is minimal when they're caught and handled the right way.
Yeah.
When fish are biting.
News,
yeah, when fish are biting 2 minutes after they were already caught, tagged, and released.
That's unbelievable.
You know, it just goes to show when you handle them the right way, they're just fine.
They're slow learners.
Yeah. They're slow learners.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, I need that. I need dumb ones in my life.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Mark. Well, thanks for that. Appreciate the call, and we will talk to you next week.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Mark. All right, let's head on down to San Diego now. Over to C4th Sport Fishing. Talk to our good buddy, Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at C4th?
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Doing great, Marcos. Good morning.
Well, we've had some good fishing, as you might have heard. It's been, you know, a little low key, but catching a few fish here and there. Very, very good fishing on the half day. Mix of yellowtail, bonita, barracuda, all across the board there. And Thursday morning being the high point, where they had 254 yellowtail in the morning half day to go 60 bonita and 63 barracuda. A little slower yesterday. Yeah, incredible. You know, it's like said, and it's like, oh, great, good fishing on the half day. No, that's really good fishing on the half day. Yesterday didn't look nearly as good, but they still caught between the three half-day boats, 52 yellowtail, 159 bonita, and 23 barracuda, which still, like we said, on the half-day, that's some great fishing there. Three-quarter day trip on the San Diego, very similar. A lot of yellowtail, bonita, nice mix of other stuff in there also, the overnights, and I'm guessing a lot of those boats might be fishing the same general area there. So I'd imagine La Jolla is a bit of a parking lot this morning. Definitely be safe if you go out there. You know, be courteous there because there's going to be a lot of boats there. And like I said, those counts might be look a little lower yesterday, but overall, just spread between more boats. I'm sure fishing is just spectacular on all those trips. So definitely check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Full schedule up there for those half days, three-quarter days, overnights, day and a half. Everything's up there. Got a few more twilight trips left if you want to sneak out there on a twilight. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, have a Rock Hard Rick breakfast burrito, and petition for that Pete Gray breakfast bowl that we're trying to get going here.
Pete Gray breakfast bowl. That's a good one. I like that.
Good
I'm
one, on it, Marcos. That's cool.
Well, Marcos, so definitely great fishing. I'd love to see you guys down here fishing this weekend.
No doubt, man. What an opportunity. I mean, this is like, you know, we were joking during the report, or not joking, but just, you know, your eyes are rolling. That is some of the best half-day fishing I can ever remember, ever. You know, I've been... I grew up fishing half day at a Seaforth. I grew up fishing the new Seaforth with Dad like my whole life. I just don't ever remember it being this caliber of fishing and this consistent. I mean, every once in a while, you know, the peak of summer, hear about 50 yellowtail on a half day boat. They had 250 on a day, and day after day of incredible fishing. It's so cool to see this going on.
No, absolutely. And I started working here in 97, 98, right that period where we had that El Nino. And you'd see a few counts like that, but a lot of great fishing. But now it's almost like you said, it's the consistency of this fishing you're seeing out there. Definitely makes a big difference in it. You can go out just about any time of the year, and you got a good chance to catch something there.
Pretty darn cool, buddy. Well, appreciate it. Great report, Marcos. Thanks, as always. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
All right. Very good.
Next up, we're going to talk to the man, Rick Jensen from Sport Fishing Financials on the line. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Rick?
No, not much. Just sticking to it and doing it all here. So Baja's turning on. Bang it down further in the middle section of the Pacific. The weather's starting to turn. Like us up here, they've had a little bit of odd fog and June-like weather for quite the extent. But down in Mag Bay, Bob Hoyt reported it with much improved weather that the Wahoo Loco was out for him with limits of yellowfin tuna down there. School-sized stuff up to 40 pounds. Three Wahoo were taken, still haven't completely turned on the Wahoo like they did early last year, but they're starting to show. They also took four groupers there. Up at Mulahay on the Sea of Cortez side, a little bit slower on the outside there. There's an occasional smaller Dorado still around. Clear water, birds working in the bay, so it looks like good conditions there. Our contact Nathan down at Playa Ventura has a broken spear gun, so we don't have any firsthand in the water Pargo and Cabrilla counts there, but I'm sure once they get it back together, even though it's hot, things are pretty strong inside the bay and like I said, a little bit slower outside. So we'll look for their report again next week. Over at Cedros, if you were listening early, you heard Jeff call in, and he's talking full speed, as good as it gets, on the shore, near slightly offshore, and all over the place for everything from white sea bass, yellowtail, calicos, and the Dorado, and even some tuna showing up outside. He didn't tell a story that he told me earlier about having a calico hooked on a flat fall and next to the boat, and a big 5-foot white sea bass came and ate it. He free spooled the line and thought he'd get it to jam up in the gill rakers, but it ended up popping off. But I think it's really going strong there, and we're looking forward to getting down to see him. Got an on the water report from Juan at San Quintín Bay Sport Fishing. Lots of life this morning. Birds are all over the place. Yellowfin are starting to show on top. They disappeared for a while. Showed up again yesterday and brought a couple bluefin along with them. So that, with the yellowtails breezing around and the rockfish going, San Quintín is still hanging in there. And up at Ensenada, some nicer yellowtails showed up this week. The barracuda and the lingcod are all going pretty good there. So up and down the coast again, lots of good opportunities and options. I think we keep thinking we're going to get this June-type weather to go away and have a long, extended fall. So there's places in Baja where that's the norm there in the central Pacific coast, and we're looking forward to spending some time just here in a week or so to try that out myself, and everybody get a firsthand report from us down there the week after.
Indeed. And, you know, there actually might be a spot or two left on our Sport Fishing Financial Statewide Stripes Let's Talk Hookup Tournament beginning of October, October 12th through the 16th at Palmas de Cortez. Such a great time. $1,000 cash up for grabs, and it's free to get in. It's such a great tournament and a great time of the year, and the fishing is off the charts down there. So we're going to have some fun down there, right, Rick?
Yeah, really looking forward to that being the next leg, and then later down to, I guess we're going to head out to Guadalupe Island with the RP, so squeeze in some work in between and hit Baja really nice here in the fall if you can. That's what we're planning.
Field research is tough stuff.
Yeah, well done.
Got to do it, yeah, for sure. Hey, Rick, if somebody wants more information on Sport Fishing Financial, wants to help their financial future and talk a little fishing with you too, how do we do that?
Yeah, hey, thanks for that, Pete. But first, if anybody wasn't here and didn't hear Steve make his nice announcement about CCA, tickets at the door, get out there and head to Portuguese Hall this evening if you can to support CCA. You can find me on the web at sportfishingfinancial.com or give me a ring at 949-481-1807.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Great job, Rick. Appreciate that very much. We'll look forward to talking next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our catch report today. Again, sponsored in part by Gamakatsu Live Bait Hooks. They drive the point home. Gamakatsu features the absolute perfect bends and ideal barbs to allow your baits to swim harder and longer. And when they do fall victim to the intended predator, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with vengeance. All the hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success.
All right, let's jump into those jam-packed phone lines. They want to talk to Lyle and Elena.
You got it. How about we do that and start this one off with Dan, who's calling us from Encinitas this morning. Hi, Dan. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question for the guests. I got two quick questions. One is, are there still white sea bass head drop-off spots? And second question was, any talk about a starting a black sea bass rejuvenation program?
Yeah, thanks for the call. Great questions. So the white sea bass drop-off locations, I believe, are all the same. That's to Hub SeaWorld Research Institute. I think they're pretty much the same as they've always been. If you've got a head, you can drop them off at the landing. Elena, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like fishermen, any of the landings?
I haven't heard about it like very recently, but that was how it was
but
a year ago.
And,
I think anybody that's I think anybody that's, you know, probably a SAC participant and a lot more, you know, associated tackle people who all have the means of doing so, meaning a freezer that you could drop them off or all do it. And you can always just go right, you know, you can always take them right to the source too. If you're in San Diego, go over to Hubs and you get to talk to the guys about it.
Yeah. And then in terms of your second question, that's a great idea, the black sea bass replenishment. I know Hubs several years ago, I think they – did they spawn black sea bass or they were trying to spawn? I can't quite remember. But these days, we might not even need to. Black sea bass are really coming back. All the data support it. Fishermen are catching them now way more than they ever did before. So the black sea bass population is really rebounding from what it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So it's in pretty good shape.
Do you ever see a season opening up on them again?
Probably not, just because they're so vulnerable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no one can predict the future. Maybe there's a situation where, you know, maybe there's a scenario that says maybe Fish and Game could create a tag system like they
We've
do for deer or something like that.
Yeah. Limited take.
Yeah, some sort of limited take. It's a possibility, but it needs to be done carefully because those are long-lived, slow-growing fish that are vulnerable.
And I just thought that'd be such a cool thing to do, because you see that in, you know, on the hunting side of things, you know, where you know everybody puts their money in for the opportunity, and whether you draw it or not, it matters not. And then, you know, a lot of those times in the hunting world, those funds are allocated towards
conservation
or habitat rebuild or whatever those things. It'd be a cool thing to see happen because I'm sure so many people would participate if it was $5 for your chance. And, you know, if there's thousands and thousands of anglers, even if they gave away 10 tags or something,
exactly,
it'd be cool to see that money get allocated towards, you know, rebuilding of that fishery. But, you know, because you know that, like I said, it's the same Fish and Wildlife that already has those programs into play for mammals. Why not try it for that? It'd be cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, and thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You know, Lyle and Elena have a lot of fans out there, and we have a couple of them on the line right now. Don Hanson's on the line. Good morning, Don.
Hey, Don.
Oh, Don Hanson.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. What I'm calling for is to tell you how important what Lyle has done and how important it is that the people, if you receive a tag or find a tag, be sure they make the phone call into him, because that is what's going to help us get things moving along down the line. And NOAA has come up with this new term called citizen science, and it's what Elena's doing, and they're accepting it. And so I think we need to be sure that when you find one of those tags or something, you let the people know about it. And I have a little question about the 14-inch calico bass. The only sad part about that is we're still catching 300 to 400 bass a day we have to discard. And the other problem is the gentleman wanted to put a bounty on them or something. I just like to go, never mind. The sea lions eat pretty good job of eating all those calico bass that we throw back.
Yep. Yeah. The sea lion population is higher than it's ever been. They've been protected for, you know, decades. And, you know, that's kind of out of my wheelhouse. But
I know it is. we just had a discussion for the last 3 or 4 days over there at on Shelter Island that Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission, they're having problems with steelhead in Oregon now, that they almost might wipe out the steelhead population.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's time to really try to figure out how to manage those animals. Not, you know, they're protected, we all know, but they need to be managed, and so
they're out of control. Yeah, and so what you're saying is a lot of those 12-inch calicos are released are being eaten by sea lions.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they sit right there and follow them. But they didn't used to eat sea lions. Did not used to eat all the years I ran a boat. They never touched the calico bass. Now they're so hungry they'll eat anything. So.
Yeah. It depends on the day. Some days the sea lions just focus on the anchovies and sardines and mackerel, and other days they'll eat absolutely anything you put in the water, and you have to drive away from them. And
doesn't that happen when you have a population that's so large?
Yeah.
That they're hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they all ought to go to Canada. I think it's great.
Yeah, send them to Canada.
Watch it.
A lot of people want to go to Canada right now, you know.
Well, Don, thanks for all your hard work, and we sure appreciate everything you do on whatever committee you've been sitting on, which is now you're on Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Is that what it is? I can't keep up with you.
Oh, I've been on that one for about 50 years. I've been on the Pacific Fisheries Management Council since it started, and an advisor to the State of California Fish and Wildlife Service, so, and a head of MAFAC at one time. I've been around a couple of weeks now.
Great
right.
job, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
appreciate
you guys
the call this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Don.
Another fan, Bart Hall.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Bart.
Oh, you're okay.
Oh.
Good morning, Lyle and Elena.
Hi,
good morning, Bart.
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm just calling in because I'm sitting here smiling from ear to ear. Well, how old were you when you started working at the Fred Hall shows?
Am I allowed to say this on the air? I was 12.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
12 teens.
So long before he was Dr. Lyle to me, he was just Lyle. And it's been such a joy to see the evolution and where he's gone. And what everybody needs to know out there is Lyle is not just a scientist. He's an avid fisherman and an avid hunter. And he's exactly the person we need to be in the position he's in, and we are so lucky to have him.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
No
Thank
kidding.
You. Thank you so
now
much,
Now, what about
Bart.
Elena? Let's talk
I
about
know.
All the good stuff about Elena. Bart?
Elena's beautiful. She doesn't need compliments.
She is the perfect teammate.
Oh,
all the work she's been doing at SAC has
she
been
works.
Incredibly impactful.
Just the foreign national in the room.
Oh, yeah.
I have to ask Elena a question. Are projects the same as projects?
Oh, no.
Oh, geez. Oh,
They sure are, eh?
Process.
Oh, Bart. Well, anyway, Lyle's been associated with Fred Hall shows. Trout Pond, right, was your first job?
Yeah, I worked the Trout Pond for 25 years,
something like that.
Yeah.
Now look at you.
I've caught
Still
a few trout.
The Trout Pond.
I've caught a few trout in my day.
Thanks, Bart.
I have a suggestion, though, for the calico bass. You have to worry about slider size limits.
Yep.
Before I worked full-time with my dad, I was a rep in the fishing tackle industry, and I rep Ranger boats and loose rods and cotton cordell. And so I did a lot of freshwater bass fishing, and, you know, nobody keeps a freshwater bass. As far as I'm concerned, calico are just freshwater bass with a tan.
There you go. There you go.
I love catching them, but I just don't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Hey, Bart,
Bart,
appreciate the contribution. Appreciate the call this morning. You know, when we come back, we're going to hear from Hunter Harding, San Clemente Island. A lot more of your phone calls, too. Stay tuned. Let's talk hookup. Mighty 1090.
If you've been searching for that perfect inshore and offshore boat, Defiance is the one. Go far and stay dry is the Defiance slogan. And that is exactly what you get in these overbuilt trailerable offshore boats. Inland Boat Center has the Defiance you are looking for in stock, ready to fish. A huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom. And over 300 new and pre-owned boats for everyone. Family-owned and operated. Their customer service is the finest available. They take trades of all types and offer amazing financing deals. Check out Inland Boat Center's inventory of Defiance Pilot House boats online, including the Admiral 22 and the San Juan 25. Solid construction with no wood to ever rot. Defiance boats are built to last. It is the peak of the season, and the Defiance boat deals have never been better. Along with great financing, you could be fishing next week in your new boat for much less than you ever thought possible. Inland Boat Center, 681 East Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more at inlandboatcenter.com. No matter the fishing conditions, count on the Seaguar family of fluorocarbon leader material to help you catch more fish. Fluoro Premier has a smaller diameter with the highest break strength. Plus, it is super soft. When bites are tough, tie on Fluoro Premier. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And new Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions, giving you a little more visibility for better line control. Pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar of the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
XSRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, on the line with us right now, Hunter Harding. Hunter spent a lot of time on San Clemente Island working with the Navy. Good morning, Hunter.
Morning, guys. Glad to be on the show with you guys.
Hey,
how y'all doing?
Yeah, doing great, doing great. So we're talking about, and now your former job was basically running the range at San Clemente Island. Is that correct?
Pretty much. So I ran the range. I ran the infrastructure of the island.
Okay. And what was that job like?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, cool.
It was a pretty cool job. One of my favorites, actually. But it was can only be in deputy mayor for a small town. So we have 400 or 500 people on the island. Everybody knows everybody's name. Everybody knows the drama with this going on the island. So it's fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, but when your stint was done, you're probably glad to get off the island.
Yeah, there were days that I was glad to come back to reality.
Well, that's cool. Well, we appreciate your service with the Navy there for sure, and all the work that you did out there. And most of all, it was great having you as a fisherman and a Let's Talk Hookup listener on the island to kind of be a helpful voice for us as anglers in with the Navy, which is kind of important, right?
It is. It's very, very important. We have a shared resource that, you know, the Navy wants to try and help take care of, wants to share with the fishermen to the best of their ability and keep everybody safe while that happens.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about what the latest issues have been. Last week they published, the Navy published that they had to cancel 11 and a half operations at the island due to interference with non-cooperative boats at the island. Kind of discuss that a little bit.
All right. So I haven't read that report. I've heard rumors, but what happens a lot of times is the mission of San Clemente Island, in general, is to support, work up some practice for Navy units deploying overseas. And the island itself is the last offshore bombing range for the Navy. So that's where we send all the big booms, especially on the West Coast. Aircraft drop bombs. The ships shoot it with live rounds. So there's always rolling thunder on the island. When that's all going down, there's a safety zone that is required for, you know, whatever's underneath the path of whatever's being shot at the island or dropped on the island, whatever's being shot off of the island. And we're required to keep those safety zones clear so that we don't, you know, punch holes in fishing boats or sink a tourist boat or something to that effect. That would be really bad for everybody, right?
Yeah, right.
So we have a couple of different ways of what we call range clearance. You know, generally the same thing that a fisherman will use. We have a really powerful radars that look and see who's in the area. We'll try and hail them on channel 16. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. If the availability exists, an airborne asset like a helicopter or a military jet may be sent out to help encourage those people to move. Those assets are not always available. When they are, they can be useful. And then lastly, sometimes we'll send other ships out to try and, you know, see what the deal is. But either way, if the ship does not move, whatever it happens to be, whether it's fishermen or not, we have to cancel that event, which is millions of dollars in taxpayer money.
Each event, when you cancel one, is millions of dollars in taxpayer money.
That's correct.
Jeez. And how would you, I mean, I know some guys don't care, but I care.
Right.
And I know Ricky cares. And I mean, most people should care about the number one, our national security, and number two, costing taxpayers millions of dollars. And so what's the best way to avoid events like this happening?
So when you're operating in and around San Clemente Island, it's going to be a little bit different than, you know, when you're in the San Diego Harbor or some of the other Navy-centric areas. But when you're coming around San Clemente Island, there's a three-mile border around the island that you really need to be talking to call sign Kraken. So Kraken is kind of the San Clemente Island's range control center. So if there's anything going on the island, they will know. So you call Kraken on channel 16. It'll be a very short exchange, and they'll usually kick you over to channel 82 Alpha, at which point they'll tell you where the operations are that are going down, any changes to the schedule that may have been published, where you can and cannot be, and generally look out for you. They've got most of the time a radar on the island as well, so they'll kind of track where you are. And help keep you out of trouble for the most part.
Okay, great. And that is something, when you're near San Clemente Island, every boat should have Channel 16 monitored. So then in case the Navy wants to get a hold of you, right?
Yeah, so the Navy will call on Channel 16 when necessary. That's mainly a Coast Guard channel, so we try not to use it unless we're passing some really good information. If you are up with Kraken on 82 Alpha, they will pass anything that the Coast Guard, any kind of crazy stuff. If you're not with Kraken, staying on channel 16, if you hear any kind of pan-pan calls, that usually means that there's some important information coming you might want to listen to. There might be a live fire going on. There might be a very large ship doing some fairly high-speed maneuvers that you're going to want to know where that's going on, so you stay away.
Okay, what does pan-pan mean?
So I wish I had a real good explanation for you. It's kind of it's the downgrade from Mayday, I guess, if you want to. I'm not sure what Mayday means other than there's a ship in distress and, you know, life is a danger.
Gotcha.
Pan-pan is another kind of call that is an informational call, and I don't have a Merchant Marine license, so hopefully another Coast Guard yells at me for
sure,
getting that information. But
understand, because you hear it all the time on things. Pan-pan means, hey, listen up, right? Kind of
yep,
pay
exactly.
Attention here. This is important stuff going on here. How accurate is the website, scisland.org?
So that website was set up by a an organization called SCORE that is a contractor for the for our range. They do a lot of the range maintenance, range scheduling, and whatnot. And it is it's pretty good. During the week, it's updated multiple times a day. Weekends, it's usually once a day, but there usually aren't a whole lot of changes to the schedule on the weekends. So if you're on the website, you can pretty much guess if you're looking at the current day's schedule, you're pretty much on the money.
And that, that information on the website, you know, and those of us who look at it a lot or want to pay attention is so that's pretty much exactly what's going to happen. Now they change operations, areas could open, and that's where Kraken comes in and calling them and listening to 82A where they're cancel an operation and you can go in there, right?
So if you could, too, Hunter, if a guy, like how does that, how does one do that on their private, but how do they contact Kraken? Like what would the procedure be, you know?
So you on channel 16, you call up Kraken. Kraken, this is whatever the ship's name, operating in the vicinity of San Clemente Island, looking for information. Kraken will usually come up, say, hi, whatever the fishing vessel's name is. This is Kraken. Please meet me on channel 82A. You make that switch on the VHF, and then you know they'll pass you whatever you need and ask you to either stay in a spot or out of a spot. They'll tell you what's safe and what's not safe. If the schedule has changed or an event ends early, you know, they'll either open or close an area as required.
Very good. Now, let's talk about non-compliance. In a letter that was published in the 2016, it says penalties for ignoring the safety zone could be upwards of $40,000 per incident. Is that right?
That is correct. So it's a federal offense, technically, to be in any of these areas that are closed without permission.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going to go on record right now saying, you know what they need to do is they need to find some of these guys because it's the same guys over and over again that are ignoring ignoring you
I
guys.
I agree.
And they need to nail them. They need to impose a fine of $40,000 on one of these guys and just say, you know what, we're not kidding here.
Because
you're costing taxpayers millions, maybe potentially billions of dollars in the
sure.
future.
And if they don't want to, you know, and if this keeps happening repeatedly, they're just going to say, that's it, it's closed, you can't be here. You know, this is
yeah.
naval security, and that's what the alternative is. It's comply or you know, I'm with you. I think they absolutely need to serve some of those fines.
So why don't they, Hunter? I know the Navy wants to be the good guys, and they want to be. So why aren't they working with the Coast Guard to impose some of these fines?
So we do work with the Coast Guard. It has I hate to call it a money thing, but the pocketbook is what it comes down to a lot of days. So we were actually working with the Coast Guard in San Diego and L.A. counties when I left the island in April to try and get a larger Coast Guard presence on the island. The Navy is not a law enforcement agency in the continental U.S., so we can do a lot of things. Law enforcement is not one of them.
Right.
So we need the Coast Guard out there. I would highly expect a greater Coast Guard presence out there in the coming months once these deals start getting closed and going through. So I think that'll start happening. You know, people getting ticketed, people getting fined and penalized for being in places that they shouldn't be. But until that happens, like you said, it's the same people over and over and over. And, you know, we recognize the boats on the island. So,
yeah, you know,
if anybody's listening, we've got pictures and whatnot. we know
who you are. I like that. All right, good for you. So let's talk about the new deal, the Kite. And that has been a tough situation for the Navy because of how high some of these people are flying their kites, right?
Yeah, it is. And I don't have any experience with kite fishing. So you guys might have to educate me a little bit. But in addition to shooting things and dropping large bombs on the island, we also do a lot of UAS or unmanned aerial system training on the island. It keeps us away from the aircraft in San Diego and L.A. You know, we're not going to run into any little Cessnas or fish spotters or a Delta flight coming in. So it's safer for us to do it out there. But I'm hearing that some of these kites are going 400 or 500 feet in the air, sometimes higher. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It can happen. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot of these UASs and even the helicopters that fly around the island are down at those levels or lower. And these kites are kind of hard to see. So if you look at the Federal Aviation Administration's laws on kites in general, and this is not just fishing kites, it's just kites, and this is actually published, a head score put this up on the website. You have to have banners or lighting, some sort of pennants to make these kites more visible. Now, I understand that, you know, putting this on a fishing kite might make it a little bit harder to get it airborne, or might make it, you know, might kind of defy the purpose of it if it makes it more visible. But either way, flying these things, it is becoming a hazard to other aircraft. The airport that we have on the island, there's one for manned aircraft that's on the northern tip. So when you're within about 5 miles of the northern tip of that island, you really need to keep kites basically out of it. And if you can keep it below 500 feet, that's great. But I would really recommend just not having kites within about 5 miles of the northern tip of the island. The other airport is in the center of the island. And most of those, I don't think, will interfere. Most of the flights that take off from the center of the island won't interfere with kites, I don't think. But you still need to comply with FAA regulations and whatnot. So if you go over 500 feet, you need to have some sort of pennants and make it easier for an aircraft to see you and to not fly into you.
Yeah, good information. Yeah. Very, very good information. Hunter Harding, we really appreciate your time, and we'd like to stay in touch with you and help the Navy all we can. So your willingness, and I want to thank Rick Jensen for making this happen. And putting together Hunter and myself for making this happen. And will you join us again, Hunter?
I'd love to.
All right. Very good. Well, Hunter Harding, sure appreciate it. And
yeah,
go Navy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Hunter.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate that. Hey, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it. Richard in Monrovia. You're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Richard, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. For Lyle and Elena, I've got one question for you, another one for everybody. So with the NLPA closures that occurred and basically environmentalists targeting sport fishermen, what do you see as their possible next area of attack against sport fishermen? And as conservationists, what species do we need to look at maybe being proactive with or areas that need more protection?
Good questions.
And I've got for you guys is I'll be at CCA tonight, coming from LA, shopping for some binoculars, and I'm looking for some binoculars in the 300-hour range, and see what you guys suggest, and someone who supports the CCA, preferably.
All right,
great questions. the species of most concern in more recent years have probably been, according to the best available science and the most recent stock assessment, bluefin tuna. That's been a really controversial one. But now, with the last few years of amazing fishing, it should become less of a concern. But still, based on the most recent stock assessment, which is the best available science we have, bluefin remain a concern. So, you know, I don't see anything new coming down the pipes. I mean, bluefin, Elena, you can answer this probably better than I. You've been more involved. But, you know, there were people petitioning for bluefin to become endangered. That just got
rejected.
So I think bluefin are now much less of a concern. But I would say, you know, barred sandbass is something we really need to look at. These spawning aggregations have been gone for the last 3 or 4 years. And this year, I know there were a few catches, high catches up off Huntington, but you know it's still pretty isolated, and they're really not coming back the way they were back in the early 2000s. So if we were to look at one species and try and figure out a way to make things better, I would say barred sandbass is
the one. Barred sandbass and bluefin, Elena. they did a sock assessment and it wasn't nearly as bad as they thought. Is it better than they thought? Is that kind of the idea?
No, they've done two sock assessments in the last several years, and they're both pretty dismal.
Are they?
Okay. And they have more confidence with the assessments now. The interesting thing about it all is that we're very confident in our impact, which is essentially, I think it's about 2% of total catch.
Okay.
So, you know, our recreational fishery for bluefin here is totally minimal.
Okay.
This is a Pacific-wide species, so you're talking international politics when you're talking about managing the species. It's very complex when you're managing a species where you have several countries that impact it. So what we've been able to do, SAC and several groups, is demonstrate that our impact is so small that, you know, changes that were made here or are made here, you know, if we are to shut down the fishery, it's not going to have any positive impact on the recovery of the stock. So we did make some pretty substantial changes. Our bag limit went from 10 to 2.
Yep.
And we do a lot of voluntary data collections like the tuna length frequency and the length weight projects that we've been working on. We have electronic log books. So we're highly accountable here.
And very proactive.
And very proactive. And, given our tiny, tiny impact on the species, I can't see any changes happening in the next several years. I think, you know, our bag limit of 2, people are still able to catch 2. And right now you're catching like sometimes 300-pound fish.
Sure.
Do we need more than 2 of those each? Yeah, you know. So I totally agree with what Lyle's saying.
All right. Very good. As far as binoculars, $300 range, the Baker 7x50s?
No doubt, man.
Yeah.
And not only is that the best pair of glasses in your price range, it's a half a block away from Portuguese Hall on Shelter Island.
So come down a little bit early, go down to Baker right next to Marlin Club
there,
and go see the guys at Baker and grab a pair of those.
Yeah,
thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's try and sneak in one quick one here.
All right. How about the next step? We talked to John calling from Long Beach. Hey, John, thanks for hanging in there with us. Lots of very patient guys.
30 seconds left for you, John. Good morning, John.
Typical. All right. Well, how about we very quick?
John.
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Question about the sand bass. Where do they go? Like, they used to come to Huntington Beach. I know they're getting fished out a lot, but where do they migrate to?
So they migrate to their spawning aggregation sites. So Huntington Beach is historically one of the biggest ones. Huntington Flats, Imperial Beach Flats, Ventura Flats, places like that. That's where they migrate to spawn. And then outside of the spawning season, they just disperse to all the coastal areas along Southern California and Northern Baja.
There were rumors going around that some of the purseine fleets in Baja were purseining aggregations of sand bass. Any truth to that?
I haven't heard anything about that, but that would be really bad if that was the case.
Because they do congregate like that. There are aggregations that potentially could be targeted that way.
Yeah, if you knew exactly where they were aggregating with a purseine, you could get
them all.
Indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
And when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves one killer prize, San Diego, and all those great ahi jigs. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Everyone knows kites and yummy flyers are the hot item, but do you have the right tackle for that big bite? Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica 52-speed reel filled with 130-pound PowerPro Hollow Ace and a Shimano Therese 72 double extra heavy rod. At Fisherman's Landing Tackle, we have more experience and expertise on fishing for big local bluefin tuna than anyone else. So why take a chance on your fish of a lifetime? Let us set you up with a Shimano rod and reel that will get the job done. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hard-working crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half-day and now three-quarter-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
When it comes to tackle storage, it's got to be Flambeau. Built to fish, built to last. Check out these new products designed just for anglers. The two new HD Series hard cases with thick customizable foam to protect your electronics when not in use. While the new HD Series tough boxes provide heavy-duty waterproof protection, clear lids and O-ring seals keep water out while letting you see in. Flambeau's patented Z-Rust provides additional protection against rust and corrosion, keeping your valuables safe. For travel, protect your rods with a tough Bazooka rod carrier. Available at Turner's Outdoorsman and other fine tackle retailers.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner of that killer trip, the three-quarter day aboard the San Diego to C4 Sport Fishing, all of those killer Ahi USA social SoCal tuna kits is going to Danny in San Diego. Danny, congratulations. You are going to be dialed.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, Lion Elena, thank you guys for
awesome,
all
you guys.
That you do. I know this is your passion and your life together. What a cool union you guys have, getting married in October and being able to share this amazing thing. It's congratulations on that. You guys are
very
lucky,
cool.
A lucky
thank you
couple.
For having us.
Yeah, for sure. But thank you guys for helping out. Of course, Elena, we can see you all the time over the SAC office there, right? Yeah, right there.
Stop
with
by.
Kenneth and the new guy.
Yeah, Edwin.
Edwin replaced Kenya.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Doing all the Mexico and the politics and then Ken kind of just the orchestrator.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kenya
sure.
visits often.
And Kenya visits often.
Yeah,
okay, good.
I drag her down all the
all
time.
Right. Good. Well, thanks for all your hard work. And Lyle, if somebody wants to know more about Coastal Tagging Program and maybe your other job that we didn't even talk about working for.
Yeah, I got a new position as a fishery scientist with the Nature Conservancy.
Really?
Yeah, so our goal is just figuring out where the data gaps are and how we can fill them to manage fisheries better.
That's
awesome,
so cool.
Buddy. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Combine that with the Coastal Tagging Program, and they help out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're in support of all the tagging work that we do. So if you want to learn more about the tagging project, just go on our Facebook page. It's the Coastal Angler Tagging Cooperative.
All right. Very good. All right. And of course, you can have opportunities going on that Facebook to go fishing with you and helping out with the tagging programs for bass as well as rockfish, too, right?
Yep. You can come on out for free and come participate directly in tag and release research.
Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Pat McDonald will be here. We're going to make a tribute to Pat McDonald and his one career as he is pretty much retired. He's still working, but pretty much retired. And we're going to talk about that great career at Western Outdoor News with Pat McDonald tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Mighty 1090. Thanks to Adam on the other side of the glass and man in the phones. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Mighty 1090.